two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, one of the basics of Christianity and of many religions, the topic is prayer. We are told to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray. We learn about Jesus' model for prayer in the Synoptic Gospels. But have you ever asked yourself, and many do, why should we pray? Well, my message today is to explain why we should pray and overcome some doubts that many people have about prayer. Today we'll talk about how to focus your prayers and what is the ultimate goal of prayer. First, let's talk about some doubts. The first major one that I hear is, God doesn't hear my prayers because I'm not worthy. God listens to all prayers. Worthiness is not a prerequisite. As a matter of fact, those who have sins or troubles in their life need prayer perhaps more than anyone else because God needs to help them more than others. Another doubt that people have about prayer is there are just too many people. As of 2021, there are about 8 billion, with a B, billion people in the world. In the United States alone, there are tens of thousands of prayers, of course, every single day. How can God possibly hear them? How could God possibly hear all of those prayers from the worthy and the unworthy, from the sinners and from the saints, from those who are careful with their prayers and those who are perhaps a little more haphazard? Well, the answer is fairly simple. We in our life have a limitation that God does not have. We are forced to concentrate on one thing at a time because that way we have to choose and direct our life and make choices that show that we want to pick good. Or if we pick something that's not so good, that we learn from it. God doesn't have that limitation. Take a look at Moses chapter 1, verse 27, which says, quote, "And it came to pass, as the voice was still speaking, Moses cast his eyes and beheld the earth, yea, even all of it. And there was not a particle of it which he did not behold, discerning it by the Spirit of God." Moses chapter 1, verses 33 through 35 say this, "Worlds without number have I created. There are many worlds that now stand, and innumerable are they unto man. But all things are numbered unto me, for they are mine, and I know them." Close quote. So between Moses 1:27 and Moses 1:33 through 35, we learn that God can help anyone, including Moses, discern every particle of the earth. So it's not an ultimate limitation on people. It's a limitation that God has placed upon us, which could be removed. Also, God does not have that limitation. He can concentrate on an infinite number of things all at once. Now, how is this possible? It's possible because of the incredible status our Father in heaven has reached. Do not place your limitations on God. Try to strive in your life to become more like God, not bring Him to the level at which we all find ourselves now. Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, verses 26 through 29, helps us focus on what we should pray about. In those verses, it says, quote, "It's not meet that I should command in all things, for he that is compelled in all things is a slothful and not a wise servant," close quote. So we're not supposed to pray about every single little thing and be lazy and just ask God to solve it. But if there's something that you cannot reason out in your mind, or if you need some kind of a confirmation, or if you are at the end of your ability for whatever reason, pray. Or if you just want to communicate with God, pray. If it's important to you, it's important to our Father in heaven. One of the questions that's often brought up is, I know God doesn't hear my prayers because he doesn't answer them. God does hear prayers. There's a fascinating study by Bernie Siegel, MD, who was involved in a study at San Francisco General Hospital, and it showed that prayer works. It involved a denomination that helped pray for people who had just suffered a heart attack. And the people who were doing the praying did not know the person for whom they were praying, and vice versa. But there was a need that was shown to the people who were offering the prayers. Those for whom prayers had been offered had a far greater rate of healing and of a quicker and better recovery than those who did not have prayers offered for them. There is actually empirical evidence that prayer works. Another comment that some people have is, I don't know exactly what to pray about. What is the ultimate goal of prayer? This is a fascinating question. The way I like to respond to this is to say that our ultimate goal is to become like Jesus. He is our example. One of my dear friends who has since passed away had this statement about a fascinating experience in his life. Quote, "I saw far off, to be distant by the visible eyes, a kind of city, a glowing, seemingly endless city. And in it, there were radiant beings that looked like Jesus. I looked in awe at this beautiful place and wondered if the people inside it were those who had kept Jesus the focus of their lives. Was I seeing those people who had looked for Jesus in everything that they did, had tried to emulate him in their lives every single day, to the extent that they had over time changed themselves into the very likeness of Jesus? I could feel their great love and almost overpowering love." Close quote. This is kind of a celestial realm, and ultimately this is the goal that we should have with prayer: to understand more about God, to understand more about his Son, to understand how to become more and more like them. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 in the Contemporary English Version of the Bible says this, quote, "Listen, I am standing at your door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and together we will eat. Close quote. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, Jesus tells us about how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, quote, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today food to eat. Forgive us of our debts as we also forgive those who are in debt to us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Those are beautiful words. When we come back, more about prayer, its purpose, and how we can become more effective with it. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. We'll be right back.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Our topic today is prayer. What is its goal? Overcoming doubts about prayer and understanding its true purpose. To encapsulate, we're supposed to pray about anything that is important to us, with an emphasis on those things we just can't do ourselves without help. Perhaps we've studied a question or don't know the answer to something we are puzzled over. Perhaps we have an important decision to make, or we're trying to learn something and it's just not quite making sense. If we've given it our best shot, prayer is the answer, because God gives us that extra amount of knowledge and wisdom. That is what prayer is all about. But it's also about other things too, which is to become closer to God. We can just have a conversation with our Father in heaven. That's something that Jesus did often. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we're told, in essence, to pray about everything that's of a concern to us. Quote, Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, close quote. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, we read this, quote, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. One other comment from Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 25. This is a much misunderstood series of verses here. Jesus says, quote, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Close quote. Now, I've heard people say, Jesus is saying that if you ask a mountain to be thrown into the sea, that it'll be fine and it'll happen. Well, he is using that as a metaphor. This is a superlative. He is using the most extreme, which means best, worst, example to make a point here. Jesus doesn't really suggest that you ask for a mountain to be thrown into the sea. This is a little bit like asking your mother when you're a kid for something that you know she's not going to give you. And her answer is, if you ask a million times, the answer will be the same. No. Now, does she really expect you to ask a million times? No, the point is that no matter how many times you ask, you're not going to get a yes in that case. Jesus is saying sort of the opposite of that. He's saying no matter what you ask for, even if it's really extreme, if it's something that you really need, ask and God will help. That's the point of Mark 11, verses 22 through 25. Not to randomly ask God to cast some mountain into the ocean. The gist of it is that we can ask for big things, for important things, to the extent that we actually need them. Another misunderstood verse, at least to some extent misunderstood, is Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Private prayer in your closet. Quote, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep babbling on like the non-believers, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Close quote. There are two parts to this. One is that we're told to pray by ourselves, not to be ostentatious. But it's also important that we can pray together with others. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20 tells us this. Jesus says, quote, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." Close quote. Jesus is emphasizing here the power of prayer with a parent, with a spouse, with a child, with a friend, with someone in need, even a stranger. Although Jesus told us to pray in secret, he goes on to tell us that we can also pray with others. The idea of praying in secret is to be not ostentatious about prayer, but that doesn't mean that it's improper to pray with others. Healing and prayer. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18 tells us about the effectiveness of prayer. Quote, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone unhappy? Let him sing songs of praise in prayer. Is any one of you sick? Let the elders of the church call upon him and pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he can be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Close quote. Getting into the habit of praying is an important thing. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, quote, "Yet the news about him," talking about Jesus, "spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray." Close quote. Jesus often prayed in public, but he often prayed by himself. Too often in the middle of doing some great things, we tend to become people of action and forget to underpin all of our actions with prayer. Jesus himself, who was God's own son, needed to pray often in order to sustain his incredible ministry, which included healing many, many people. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 reminds us of the need to make prayer a regular habit so we can be continually refilled and rejuvenated with the power of prayer. Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 talks about the importance of the Holy Spirit to be with us to pray. Here's what he says, quote, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for always, but the Spirit intercedes for us with words that cannot be expressed. And he who searches his heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God." Never be afraid to pray. God will hear your prayers. I hope you will join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.